this also, when we talk about business, is like the next electricity, because hey, now people, or you can be a sales beginner, or you can be an international salesperson or a small company. Now you understand that you need to, hey, you need to start looking other market, you need to start exploring new stuff, you need to, yeah, you need to do other things. And hey, there are people out there looking for your product, looking for your service. Just make yourself visible enough so they can reach out to you.
Welcome to Cross Pollination, a podcast about solving problems with creativity and innovation. This week, we're chatting with Serge Waka, an author and expert on international sales. Based in France, resident in Quebec City, Serge has expertise selling on at least four continents, Europe, North America, Asia, and Africa. And he's written a book on mastering international sales to help other people learn some of the hard-won skills he's built over many years, including some seemingly counterintuitive lessons. Serge is an optimist and a man with a big vision who believes servant leadership is the key to sales and that leadership doesn't only happen from the top. We'll hear Serge's thoughts for companies looking to sell into international markets, what they need to know and how to go about it from a tactical and cultural perspective. That part is really timely in light of the many discussions happening at the moment here in Canada and in many other places with respect to companies and countries needing to diversify the destination markets for their goods in light of a lot of changes around international trade and selling goods and services across international borders, particularly for us into the US, which has traditionally been our biggest trading partner. Serge has immense experience with international sales, and he tells us why the current situation can be an opportunity and why, despite uncertainty, it's a good time for optimism. We start off with how Serge came to the philosophies he's developed and the work that he does, starting with a formative experience in his childhood that profoundly shaped his approach to life and work.
When I was young, I couldn't walk for almost 4 years. Usually, or let's say normally in all parts of the world, from Africa to North America, China. A lot of child, usually they walk at, let's say, 1 year old, or maybe maximum two, right? But I couldn't. And I was like that for almost 4 years. During that journey, I was like, hey, so you see a child who cannot play with his siblings, especially because I'm the fourth born of a family of five. Maybe you just observe people, you wish into your head that you can do stuff that they are doing, that you can do stuff that people of your age can do. But you're not capable of doing that because you cannot walk. Until one day, I don't know what happened. Every time I'm hungry, I cry, no? It's the same also for knowledge. When I'm hungry of knowledge, I go out to look for that knowledge. So that day, I still remember that day extremely well. I was hungry and I was crying loudly, and no one could help me. So that day, I just stood up. I went to the fridge to grab my bottle of milk. That day was like the beginning of something special for me, because when I look back, I'm like, hey, wow, Serge, I'm extremely grateful for that moment, because it taught me a lot, really a lot about a lot of other things.
Serge's childhood experience taught him, albeit unconsciously, about determination, being resilient, persistent, and taking life into his own hands. Those are qualities he drew on later as he moved to new countries, studied, moved again, and worked through a non-linear career ladder that's so common to many guests on the show, culminating in a career in international sales.
I'm a normal person, a young person, looking a dreamer. I define myself also as a dreamer, someone who dreams a lot, because thanks to these dreams, I've been able to achieve a lot, really a lot. So my journey started in Cameroon. I'm from Cameroon, originally from Cameroon. So I moved from country to country, looking for something. I cannot say better, no, but at least looking for new opportunity, looking always for something that can challenge me. So I moved from Cameroon to Italy, where I studied, then from Italy to France, then from there to London, then from London again to France, then to Canada, then to France again. And I went around the world during my journey, either as a student or either as a sales professional, because currently I'm a sales professional, a business growth strategist. I consult company. I'm specialized with within the telecom industry, so I help them to grow their business. I help telecom company also to make some strategies, sales strategies, marketing strategies, expansion strategies, implementation strategies of the same strategy, no? So yes, this is what I'm currently doing. So far, so good. So let's see for the future.
Serge's journey to international sales went through a lot of interesting and unusual turns. He was interested initially, for example, in a career with a more holy focus.
When I was young, I wanted to become a pastor, right? Then after a few years, I decided to change. And then I said, no, pastor is not for me. I cannot stay there in front of people every Sunday preaching something I don't even understand. So then I wanted to become a doctor, right? And what was fascinating me about being a doctor was the fact that I could help people. But then later on, I've understood that it's not for me because I cannot help a lot of people. I cannot help everyone. Then I decide to completely switch. Oh, currently, my dream is being able to contribute, to give job or to contribute so people can, let's say, get a better life. And the number is, every time I think about it, I'm still like, can I succeed, Serge? But I know I can do that. It's 500 million people. This is really the dream of my life. I would like, yes, to impact all those people and contribute so either they can change a bit their mind, either they can recover some kind of dignity through work, through bringing home a few things, or either, yeah, showing them the light, right? Because we have been programmed to always look stuff when they do not work, right? We have been programmed to look on scarcity instead of abundance. So I just want, yeah, to show them that there is a light there. So just follow that path and you will succeed. This is my dream.
Serge's dream and vision to help many people came to exist through some very pragmatic experience developed from his years working and living in Europe and then being dispatched overseas to different countries and continents all over the world, working in sales.
Well, let's say I was studying literature before, so I was an expert in philosophy, because if someone was asking one question, I had like 10 different type of answers, no? Because I started building, let's say, my brain in that sense, because I wanted to become a philosopher before. Then when I was in Italy, I decided to change because Italian was a bit tough for me. So expressing my idea, all those type of things in Italian was difficult, especially because I didn't study it for a long period of time. So I decided to switch into business because it was more easy. No, it's like 1 + 1 = 2, or maybe understanding some type of concept. It was not easy at all, but I succeed. So I start studying business. I start loving business. I start studying the market, understanding how stuff are moving. How come some company act in this way? I start understanding competitive advantage, why a company should be market driven, this type of stuff, right? And yeah, at the end of the day, I was graduate in finance. Then I took, let's say, yeah, this fancy diploma in, I have a master degree in private banking. Because my dream was also to manage the money of people, right? But it didn't happen, right? Because I need to know how to manage my own money before managing the money of other people. So, yes, and then the life just threw me into sales. After a few periods into the bank environment, they asked me to do sales. I said, no, sales is not for me. No, forget about it. Then after a couple of months, I start understanding why selling is like serving people, because you're bringing on the table something people don't have. So you're understanding their need and you help them. I said, okay, I'm going to follow this path. And yes, this is how I landed into sales.
The first question I had for Serge is what sales means from his perspective. Here's how he thinks about it and how it relates to a concept he's deeply committed to and has written a lot about in his book, Servant Leadership.
Sales is simple. It's simple because I define ourselves, all of us, we are salespeople. Just imagine a bit. You see a child, maybe at Christmas, he just get his bicycle, right? And that same day, he want to unpack everything and go and take a ride. But that guy never ride a bicycle before. That child never ride a bicycle, but it doesn't stop him. He need to ride, right? So he ride the first time and then he fall. Parents are like, no, pay attention, this type of stuff. No, wait. He try again. And let's say after a couple of hours, the guy is just running at a certain speed around the house, no? With his bicycle. I define sales as something we can all do. It's just a matter of the willingness to help others. If you approach sales as serving people, you succeed no matter what. So when people have products, services that they want to, they just want people just to buy, because what is the output of it? The output is they want to buy because probably they have some financial issue, right? Or maybe they want someone to just, they are extremely focused on the result they get themselves, not on the result that their prospect, their client gets, right? So approaching sales as, let me serve first. And believe me, the rest will follow. Meaning the money will follow after that. If you have any type of product, and you have always that type of mindset, I have to serve people through my product, I have to serve people through my services, you are going also to attract people to you. And you will see, you are going to have this is how I think. And this way of thinking also have helped me a lot to succeed into this environment. So yes, this is how people should approach sales. Helping first before selling. Product or service, it should start like that.
Servant leadership isn't always an easy path to walk, particularly when, as a leader, you might need to take difficult and possibly unpopular decisions or deliver tough news. Sarah says it's not only an integral part of effective sales, but also a way to show leadership and develop trust even when you're leading from the middle, not from the top.
It's a matter of listening first, right? Because when the decision is tough, it because probably it impact a lot of people. Like, you know, someone maybe might suffer from that decision. But again, when you serve people, you need to be also truthful to them and transparent on what's going on. Because at the end of the day, we are all in the same boat. There is, that one is the vision. That one is the destination. This is where we are going. And this is what it takes to get there. And what it takes to get there sometimes is not easy, or most of the time it's not easy. You're going to face a lot of challenges. Probably you're going to lose also a lot of people on the road. But you need to get there. So again, the servant leader here is just a matter of showing, listening to your people, showing them the way, helping them to grow so they can understand also where you're coming from in terms of why that tough decision, it's extremely important that you have to take that decision, right? Maybe if you allow me, I want to tell you something about it's something that I was applying to get into, let's say, training program, right, for one university in Northern America. And it was a leadership program. And the test that the test to be accepted into that program was a simple one. The test was just saying, imagine that you are into a boat, you are the captain of your ship, right? And normally you're supposed to go from point A to point B, but during the journey, you hit something and people start doubting on your capabilities also on leading them to that place. People start doubting on, are they going to die? Maybe because you didn't make the right decision also for them. People start being against you on how because of your decision, right? And the test was, what are you going to do? Right? I left it like that so people can think also about the solution for that problem. But this is exactly how to be a leader and how to be a servant leader, because sometimes leadership is not about a title, because you can lead from the middle. It's just a matter of having people with you, taking people, making them understand that X, Y, and Z is not easy, I know.
Serge talks about servant leadership and other topics related to sales, including the sales process, in a book he's written, Sales Mastery Guide: Strategies for Success, based on the knowledge and experience he's gained over the years. The book is available on Amazon in English, French, and soon Italian, and we'll also provide a link to it in the show notes. Here Serge tells us what his book is about and the reason he wrote it.
My intention is really to help people succeed. This is really my purpose in life. I call the book Sales is a Sales Mastery Guide at the Era of AI. I wrote the book especially because, I've been there trying to sell my product or my services and not knowing where to start. I've been there. Not knowing that when you get into an international market or probably using AI, what to do so it can help you. I've been there, not knowing that even a manager who want to talk to his peers, right, to his collaborator, need to be also a salesperson. I've been there, and I wish I had the book I write, right, when I was there, because the purpose was really that one, helping. It can be a salesperson who just started, someone having just a service, someone having a product, someone who want just to share something out there. What will be the step? What will be the process? What type of mindset he need to have? What type of thing he need to start working on? And it's, again, it's easy. It's really easy when you know how to do.
In terms of knowing what to do, Serge begins with listening to potential customers and asking questions. It's something that applies not just to selling a product or service, but to selling ideas, getting other people to buy into what you have to offer, persuading them to adopt a concept. It's about building trust, understanding where someone else is coming from, demonstrating to them that you're paying attention, you're interested in what they have to say, before you ever talk about your product or service.
We all have our silent battle, right? So sometimes people also will never tell you exactly what is their issue. So you have to be like a doctor. You remember when I was young, I wanted to become a doctor. It's like when you have someone in front of you, instead of just asking stuff, presenting your services, presenting the product, the features, all these type of things, you need to start asking questions to that person, because you need to find out what bring that person to you first and how you can help it. Because sometimes you cannot help. As a doctor, before you diagnose what will be the issue, you need to ask a lot of questions first. You cannot serve everyone. You cannot help everyone. So it's extremely important for you to make sure that if this person is the type of customer, the type of patient I can help, then I'm going to help him because I have the services adapted for it. If this person is not the type of patient or the type of service or the type of client I need, I'm going to directly to a better specialist because this is not my specialty, right? This is how it needs to be approached. So we cannot sell to everyone. We can attract people to us through, let's say, processes, right? And then let's just be the doctor for our client and try to understand how we can serve them, how we can definitely help them.
What Serge says about listening, getting to know customers, the problems and challenges they face, makes a lot of sense. But it's not always intuitive when people start out selling. Often we start out by immediately telling our potential customers about this great thing that we have to sell them and all the reasons that it's great before ever doing some listening and finding out about their issues and if or how our product can help them. Another tension that often arises around sales is pressure to sell, pressure to make sales targets or close a certain number of deals in a short span of time. Here's Serge's thoughts about balancing the pressure of making sales and doing the necessary job of building sales relationships.
I remember when I was starting my journey into sales, I was like, I needed to hit the target, right? Because if you don't hit the target, oh, no. Probably you're going to lose your job. So you're like, you call, calling, because you need to do like 150 per day. And you need to have at least, let's say, 20% or 30% closing rate. So a lot of pressure. But yeah, I didn't understand that sales is not like that. I wish my 20 years old younger self understood what I've understood now. It's true. Okay. There are different stages. I will be talking about myself. So anyone listening to it probably will relate to it or not. But how I did when I started, when at the beginning of my sales career, I was pushy, really pushy, because I needed to get the job done. I couldn't pay my rent. It was tough. It was tough also to pay my tuition fees, right? I was like, the customer, no, you need to sign. Yes. I was pushy, but I was not serving them. So today I'm doing something completely different. If a company push me to reach a target, like you need to close, I don't know, 5 sales during this day, I will not work for that company. I will just go away from that company, because this is not who I am, right? I try to make sure that sales is also part of who I am. I am someone who decides that I'm going to help people through the product I'm selling or through the services I'm providing to someone. If a company come and tell me, okay, sales, this is the target for this week. You need to reach 1 million sales by the end of the week, I will look at it. If you don't, and then if you don't reach, I will say, no, this is not the type of project that I can really relate to, because this is not who I am. I'm not going to, let me use the word, prostitute myself just to reach a number, because it's not like that. Especially because when you sell being authentic, that customer is your customer for your entire life. So instead of having transactional deal, right? I prefer to build stuff on based on the relationship first. And believe me, every time a company asks me to do like that, this has been my point. No, I can't do it in that way. So if you want me to sell 1 million per week, okay, this is what I can do. Then if I reach 1 million, then it's okay. But based on how I'm seeing stuff, based on how I think I'm going to process the info I have, this is the minimum I think I can get. Then if I reach 2 million, then it's good. But please don't put pressure on me to reach that 1 million per week. No way. If not, I'm out. This is how I do. And so far, so good.
Serge's work eventually took him into international sales, which adds other layers to the process, like companies that need to find strategic partners who can then help them enter and break into markets they're not familiar with yet, or companies that need to build skills to understand the cultures and specifically the business cultures of new markets, especially when they're significantly different from what they're used to.
I started selling, in Italy we call it panino, a panini, right? Some kind of bread only with cheese and some. I start selling that, but not internationally, obviously. But then I start selling internet connection to household. Like you knock at the door, and you say, "Yes, I have this fiber optical stuff, this type of stuff." Then, internationally speaking, I start selling services for company I was representing, into telecom or into bank industry. One thing that I've realized is from one continent to another, the approach should be different, because you cannot take something that you're using in US or in Canada or probably in France and you think that you're going to apply the same thing in Asia or in Africa. Mm-hmm. It might not work. There are processes for every single country that you need to have or to, I cannot say master, but at least you have to apply certain stuff. Believe me, it's not easy for someone just even to understand that, he will be leaving his comfort area, right? Like if someone is in US, for example, he need to go and sell something in France. Probably, I don't know, he need to book an hotel. He doesn't know how to do as soon as he get to the airport, how to grab a taxi, or maybe someone from France or from US selling to Africa or to India, right? Mm-hmm. There are certain stuff that you need to put in place first. And that part is, let's say, 1% of the journey that is ahead, right? Because apart from that, you need to understand also the culture, the behavior, how people do. In some continent, for example, I realized that people like when you give them the respect, like, because it's extremely important. You cannot just come and say, hey, hi, yeah, this type of stuff and things that you can close a deal. Oh, no. Like even shaking the hands, for example, like when you are into the Middle East, for example, where as soon as you approach someone, you cannot just shake the hands like we are doing here, because based on how the hands of the person in front of you is, like if the person is like, you need to look also, let's say, the non-verbal communication, no? So the way he is, will be shaking your hand on, you understand from it that, okay, this person is in a position where he doesn't trust you. He doesn't want to get along with you. But in case he shake your hand in another way, maybe the shoulder is positioned in a particular way, then you understand, okay, this is the right moment to start talking to this person. There is a lot of differences across countries, right? And yeah, this is also the reason why international salespeople have a lot of money also, no? Because when they are able to be successful internationally, it means that they master also these type of things. And it's a well-paid environment also. I have to agree, yeah.
That brings us neatly to the current upheaval around international trade, particularly in North America, and companies driven by the threat of tariffs or other barriers starting to look more closely and more urgently at selling into markets they haven't traditionally considered. Preparing for international trade is a whole topic on its own that we'll look at more closely this season, and it's one that I worked in for a number of years, so it's a topic we're well-positioned to explore on this show. But from a sales perspective, Serge tells us there's a lot of good news in looking at new markets and good reason to be optimistic that the present situation offers a lot of opportunities as well as unpredictability.
The first good news is, you know, our mentors, they all teach us that one is like when you have one customer, one historical supplier, one friend, or maybe the number one is extremely dangerous in business. It's extremely important to have multiple supplier, multiple customer, because if you rely only on one, and then when the moment that the relationship will have some issue, no? Then this is the beginning of the end, right? Giving, let's say, due to what is currently happening, globally speaking, it's good, for example, for countries like Canada, Europe, but also for American people. Why? Now it's time also to step back a bit and ask to ourselves, okay, we have been too comfortable for 30 years or maybe for more than one century. It's time to change it. It's time to start going to new market, because you can get new stuff also out of that. Then to be able to do that, it's not that bad. It's not that difficult. It's not something that you cannot do. There is always somewhere, someone looking deadly for your services, someone who will be able to support him. So again, this is really the chance. This is really the starting of something special for a lot of company based in Canada, in Europe, or maybe in US, because they will be like, okay, this is the moment to start going out and look for new opportunity. And they will see the grass will be completely green and there are people looking for them. And it will be, I have the feeling that everything will be okay for most of those countries. One is too small a number to achieve great things. So it's good that this type of issue is happening and that company will start going out a bit. it's definitely an opportunity. It's like the opportunity of this era, right? We are saying that artificial intelligence is the next electricity. This also, when we talk about business, is like the next electricity because, hey, now people, you can be a sales beginner or you can be an international salesperson or a small company. Now you understand that you need to start looking other market. You need to start exploring new stuff. You need to do other things. And hey, there are people out there looking for your product, looking for your service. Just make yourself visible enough so they can reach out to you.
What's also needed in some cases to realize or to make good on international opportunities is completely rethinking where the market might be and the kinds of places and people who might be interested in what you're selling. In the part of the world where this podcast is based, for example, companies have historically often gone to the nearest market that offered business opportunities that was also culturally really familiar. But what if there are other places equally or more interested in buying our products? What does it take to move out of that comfort zone, get to know and to think differently about what goes on in different parts of the world and where opportunities might be, even if it's quite unfamiliar?
Can they just be open-minded to understand that they need to start to shift the paradigm on thinking that they can only deal or doing stuff like they were doing in the past? It's like moving from from your comfort zone to your learning area, right? It's just a mindset shift, and try new stuff because possibility, you know, when a lot of mentors talk about abundance, it can also be applied here because again, if you just open your mind a bit, you align with your purpose, with what you want to achieve, the type of company you want to help. It can be in Africa, in India, or I don't know where, in Asia. You will succeed because if you're like, maybe it's extremely interesting to start looking for strategic partnership out there. Maybe instead of being into the country, you use people who are already going there to build a strategic partnership. So you mitigate the risk, right? Get into the market. You understand how the market functions. And through that partnership, maybe you're able to close a deal. Maybe you're able to see a lot of more opportunity before you decide to, okay, let me now start playing big. This is at the micro level. Then at the macro level, so talking country to country, this type of stuff. Like, for example, for a Canadian company willing to look for another market, like the African market, because again, the African market is a big market, right? There are agreements. People don't have the information that there are agreements between those countries, for example, in Canada. It's just a matter of getting the information first. And there is a lot of people out there, a lot of consulting company who are just waiting for those company to knock at their door and say, I want to get into that market. Can you help me? And they will be more than happy to share the experience and to help them, no? And again, there is a lot of agreement between countries that a lot of people are not aware of. And this is really the right time to start looking at it. It's never late. And to start doing business with Africa, with Europe, with Asia. And there is a fruit out there everywhere. You just need to, it's just a matter of just taking the step to do it.
Along with those opportunities comes, as Serge mentioned, the importance of making yourself visible. Again, the good news is that in an international world, digital tools can help reach a lot of new markets. The flip side is that it's not all that's needed on its own. Products and services might need to be adapted to local markets. And that's where human touch and relationship building is still essential.
Let's say the past century teaches us that we always need to adapt ourselves to technology and all those stuff, right? It's extremely important for a company to be visible. Again, I'm not going to teach to people how to be visible because we all know how to be visible and to make sure. Now that visibility needs to be adapted based on our target, based on the country where we want to sell our services. For example, if you take a country, like Nigeria, for example, one of the biggest countries in Africa, or South Africa, for example. And you think that being visible is just being on social media, shouting, putting stuff there, out there, and you think people, you will be visible. No, no, because it doesn't work in that way in those areas. The visibility asks you to do other stuff than that, right? Because they need to see you pretty much everywhere they go. This is why advertising is different there. Then, again, as soon as you solve the visibility problem, the relationship part also is extremely important because, you know, a lot of people these days are saying with AI, with all those stuff, probably they will not have a job or probably they are afraid, right? Like AI is growing like at an exponential level. But that's not the case because, again, the relationship, one thing that AI will never do is to be able to establish a relationship between two human beings. It's impossible for an AI. So the relationship part, it's still, let's say, 80% of the job. 20% will be make yourself visible, and 80% will be how you connect with people, how you build trust with people, how you make sure that for a long period of time, you have a good relationship with those people. And this will be the key of the success, the relationship part. AI will still be just an assistant, but the relationship part will always be, let's say, the goldmine.
So what are some of the practicalities of going international? What should you expect?
First thing, that just the differences between countries or between continents. The gap, so just physically speaking, right? So just when you land, you look, it's completely different. So the same thing I'm going to see in Paris are not the same I'm going to see, for example, if I land in Quebec, or in case I land in New York, it's different, physically speaking. Then, when you start talking to people, the mindset also is completely different, right? You start understanding a few things about the culture, how they do, why you shouldn't do in this way, why you should do in this way, how people even eat, right? Because all those stuff are extremely important. For example, if you are, after maybe a meeting, you go and have lunch with your potential customer. You know, even during lunch, there are a few things that you need to know, a few secrets that you need to know, all those type of things. So, again, but all those things are not barrier, right? Because someone can learn that. And someone said to me one day, diversity is like a gift. The more you explore other countries or the continent, the more diverse you are, the more gifted you will be also, because learning from all those places is extremely, extremely, extremely important for us also as a human being, right? To understand other people, their culture, their things, yes, this type of stuff, yeah.
Still, even for international experts like Serge, overseas work holds surprises, and you always know to expect the unexpected. One of his most memorable deals took over 3 years. He says developing trust with a buyer who didn't know him or his company was one of the biggest hurdles to eventually securing that deal, which took time, patience, an understanding of the process, and a lot of persistence, and a refusal to be discouraged.
Oh, let's say yes, absolutely. You know, there is this type of stuff that you think you will not get. And probably after 3 years, you don't get. But you still insist, and then one day you get something. Yes, I have this type of experience. Again, you know, we were talking about my childhood. And I was saying, one thing I've learned is that you never know. We don't master the time, right? We are not the people who control the time. We don't know when stuff will happen. For me, it took me 4 years to start working. For others, maybe to get in outside of the battery can take them 10 years. But again, to be able to resist during those 4-10 years, it takes resilience, right? In one of my my journey internationally speaking, the deal I remember the most is a $247 deal. Why? Because it took me 3 years to be able to close that. And when I did it, it was like, wow, Serge, you did well to stay. It means that this is the way. It means that if you were able to close this, there is demand. It means that there is a lot of opportunity. I cannot hide to you that I close after that million into the same countries. Because I've understood that, hey, imagine if I've decided to give up, to just say, okay, Serge, it's difficult. Ah, no, no, you cannot get into this country. You cannot do nothing. Oh, no, people are behaving in a certain way. So just go and look for something somewhere else, right? But no. I didn't give up. And I was insisting and I closed. I still remember that, let's say that PO, right? Like when I was jumping like, wow. This is just great. That one is the most memorable for me. It was in Africa, definitely in Africa. Absolutely. It was tough. It was really tough. It was difficult. Again, when I say difficult now, it may seem like, I don't know, but you know, when something is, you don't know if you're going to succeed. When you sleep at night, it's like, what do I need to do? I've tried everything. I've succeeded here. I've succeeded there. How come I'm not succeeding in that particular place? And I know, based on the study that I did, based on my preparation, that there is business, there is something. But how can I crack it? How can I get into that market? How can I have that particular customer? And yes, it's oft after trying. Yes, at the end of the day, you succeed, no? This is why now I'm also, I don't put any more time when I do my goals, right? Like, I need to hit like 10 million by the end of the month, or maybe 20 million by the end of the year, or whatever. No, I don't do that anymore. I'm like, this is what I'm going to do. This is the people I'm going to go after because these are my niche. And I hope I'm going to find a lot of them that I can serve. Right? And then as soon as you serve them, you sell for a long, 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 long period of time.
So what were the keys to eventually getting this deal? How did Serge overcome the hurdles and deal with competitors who are also trying to make the same deal? How did he think about the process to keep him in the game?
It was many things that into the same. Let's say the trust factor was the number one. They don't know you. Who are you? Why are you coming here? To do what? They need to know you. People buy from people. People buy the trust. They buy when they have the feeling that they can trust you. You're going to move to the next step. Then it's true, selling to big company also is not, it's not something you do overnight, right? Because there is a lot of people involved into one single decision that they need to take. So all those stakeholders, you need to convince them. You need to show them that your product can help. In case it cannot help, probably you can bring someone on board that can, or maybe another, sometimes even a competitor on board. So jointly, you can help that customer. But again, to get to that level, it takes a process, steps, right? I used to, when I'm teaching to some of my students sales, there is a story I like to tell. So if you agree, I can tell you the same story. I define sales a bit like, or getting into another market, or the willingness to have a particular customer, like maybe wanting to date a handsome boy or maybe a cute lady, right? Because you are looking the best way to approach that person. So imagine you are into a bar, right? And there is that particular lady or that particular guy, you are interested. But you are not the only one because the bar is full of people, right? And the same people want the same person. But how do you do? So sometimes the natural thing that if I'm a guy, I want to date a lady, I'm going to send her probably a cup of I don't know, a drink, right? And unfortunately, I put a bit of alcohol into the drink. Like I asked the barman to bartender to please take this to that person. And but unfortunately, that person doesn't take alcohol. Oops. You miss the opportunity, right? But you don't stop there because people around you start shouting because they think that by shouting, they will be the one that person is going to notice. No, it's not the case. That person is still there alone, but that person have a need. Then, like an idea just come into your mind and you take a paper like we were doing when we were young, right? Take a piece of paper, you throw it. It's like a small missile and you hit the person with that, right? And you think that person will be angry because you just hit, but it's just a small paper, right? And that person just look at you and smile. Hey, then at that moment, then this is your moment to shine, right? To prove to that person that amongst all those people into the bar, you are the one who can definitely help. Again, this parallel story, it's exactly what happened when you get into some new market. There is a lot of people out there who are targeting the same person. But sometimes we tend to do like everyone. So that cup of that glass of or whatever you take to that person, it's exactly what we all do. Like, okay, normally I should do this. But sometimes it just takes being yourself, being authentic, just doing stuff that just came into your mind because you're not thinking that much. Because what you just have in mind is to help that person that you don't know the needs yet, but you just want to approach to help. And sometimes you can try something and it's that something little that opens you the door to millions of opportunities, right? So yeah, the lesson is this one. So we just need to try simple stuff, but trying, it's not easy, but it's just a matter of that.
Knowing how to do it, it's an invaluable skill. If you're interested in knowing more about Serge's work and ideas, you can find him on various social media platforms, including Instagram, Facebook, and TikTok at Strategies with Serge. We'll make sure to include links in the show notes. You can also find Serge Waka on LinkedIn. We'll also be doing more episodes focusing on international business later in the season, and we hope you'll join us for those. If you enjoyed the show, you can help us by sharing Cross-Pollination with other listeners who you think might enjoy it too. We appreciate you listening. See you next time for more problem-solving episodes on Cross-Pollination.